Great thing to see the church of the living God in this hour come to the place where they can truly accept the responsibility of carrying this word, of believing this word, of standing upon this word, to become a real standard in this hour, a standard that God can raise up and say, this is my people. This is the restoration. This is the church of the living God. That God can feel pleased in his heart and say, this is what she was like in Alpha. I've done it. I said I'll bring them back, and I brought them back. I said I'd transform them. I said I'd set them free. Here they are. Glory. That God could be pleased in his heart. Amen. To know that he has achieved his purpose. Amen. Any great workman who set out to do a certain work, that he might encounter great obstacles in performing his tasks. When he achieves what he set out to do, amidst all the problems and all the obstacles, there's a sense of satisfaction to know it is done. You can put the tools away. You can begin to clean the work table. You can begin to sweep out all the trash and throw it in the fire. You can dust his hands. He can polish it up and put it on display and says, here is my work. Took me about 30 years to bring it to this. But I've finished my work. I know God wants to look in my life. He wants to look in your life. He wants to look in this church here. He wants to look at his people around the world that he has put in this age. It's not so much whether we're going to make it or not. For us to make it is in the mind of God. But to make ourselves available to him, that the work that he wants to bring to pass in our lives, if you could yield yourself to it, and I believe as you come here tonight praying to see God's church rise, praying to see God's church become a standard in this country, praying to see that the influence of God's church go throughout this region, praying to see that those that God ordained to bring by and through the members of his bride, to see that they come and be presented as the trophies. Because God had a people ready. Because God had a church equipped and fortified as an instrument in his hand that he could fulfill his work. I believe that's why we're here tonight. Amen. This is a church prayer meeting. This isn't prayer meeting. We pray about my bank account and pray about my job and my mortgage and my home and my car. This is to pray that the work of the Lord, the church of the living God, amen, that the message has been sent forth to gather together and instruct and train and dress and equip and fortify and anoint the people and say, go forth, finish the work, that men and women could go forth with a purpose, with a vision. And when we come back here, we come back to base. We take a stand here. We come back here with a testimony.
Glory.
We come back here with a report.
Hallelujah.
We come back here with an experience of what we encounter in carrying the work out.
Amen.
Where we can be re-anointed, we can be refreshed. We can be taught even further and be better equipped. Be renewed in spirit to go forth again.
Amen.
I'm longing to see the day when we'll break through. We are pressing. We are like a church in birth pain. We are like a church in travail. We are trying to break into a sphere.
Yeah.
All the preaching is trying to lift you up. Trying to get you focused. Trying to set your priorities right.
Amen.
Trying to get you to see what God wants for you in this hour.
Yeah.
And as you become convinced, you begin to break through. You begin to enter in.
Amen.
Where you can say, here my Lord, send me. Here my Lord, send me. Because you're no longer interested in worldly things. You're no longer interested in things of this life. My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. It becometh me to fulfill all righteousness. I must be about my Father's business. A prisoner bound in the chains of the word. When God can have a church like that, we'll see great things happen. When God can remove the ignorance of people sitting down and wanting to see this miracles and signs and wonders, and God can't even get them to move. We're back in Judges 6. If God beat us with all the miracles, you become a miracle. Then watch more miracles take place. You come to the place to surrender and let that God come in your life and make you the instrument by which he'll perform miracles. But I believe we're getting there by God's grace. Been hard for some of us. Devil studied us out, study our genealogy, study our culture, study our family background. He knows just the way we say, well, that's how I am. I make up so. Well, I can't do different. And that's why we found that it was little things, but yet such strong chains.
Yeah. Amen.
But when the word can get deep enough to contact the next part of you, the other family background, the family in heaven and earth, not the natural family, the family in the Lamb's book of life.
Amen.
When they can say, but that's how Peter was, that's how Paul was, that's how Moses was, that's how Joshua was, that's how Martha, Mary, and Ruth was. You say, well, my auntie was so, and my father was so, and Sylvia was so, and Newty was so, and my uncle George was so. Not them. Amen. Real family. Real family tree. Glory be to God. You see a real church rising, friend. I'm longing to see that day. I'm seeing a little trickle. But I know the trickle ain't the promise. Trickle just is an incentive to say, if we can work a little harder, this little trickle could come a little gusher. And we can see a little, the volume get a little greater. The flow of the water get a little cleaner. You see people bubbling with the Holy Ghost. Bible Holy Ghost. If God can make us into that place tonight, we'll have a real church here. When you watch what's happened in the country, I was in the barber shop yesterday. While I was in the chair listening to a program down on the radio, minister, Pentecostal minister, nothing against the man, not saying this yet to try to elevate this and put that down. But I'm trying to show you people trying to achieve something.
Amen.
But when you don't know the Bible, when you just influence, when you don't know the provided way of God, all you have to rely on is the energy of the flesh. And he was saying, you businessmen, you better put your money in the gospel. Otherwise, you'll be judged. And he was trying, you know, he was trying to convince them real hard. And then, you know, he was talking about a 40-day fast that the nation was supposed to go on. He said, and he was kind of saying, I know many of you ain't doing, but we are still fasting here. God don't want all this 40-day fast and all these things. God wants you to humble to the word. God wants you to come under the headship of the word. God wants you to start casting reasonable imaginations and bring your thoughts subject to the word. Let the word begin to take over in you. God wants obedience to the word, to the revealed will of God. Sometimes to do that, you get to discover how strong your own personal ambition, your own desire. How you glory in your own achievement more than you glory in the achievement of the Holy Spirit. For his church, rather than for your kingdom. Rather for your own family. Rather for your own self. Sure, God can bless people in different ways. But the real glory is in the achievement for the kingdom of God.
Amen.
When the kingdom is furthered, when the cause is fulfilled, when the standard is raised, when Jesus Christ is being glorified, let's have a real church here, friend. Let's see a real church rise. The word right now is opening and showing us something in the services. Bring it to your soul to show you what your boundaries are. Did you pray tonight concerning your boundaries?
Amen, brother.
Did you pray tonight concerning this, the inheritance that God give you, your allotment, your portion, the channel God opened to you, that you will know how to live and serve God within that channel? Amen. To know that that is your inheritance, that is what you're predestinated unto in this life, that is what you're going to continue on life in another world in. Did you pray about those things tonight? If you didn't, you missed the whole prayer meeting. If you didn't, it means to say you was in prayer service tonight, but you have no continuity to the word. It sure the word doesn't have an effect upon your soul. It means other earthly things is taking your mind over, that your mind can't break into the realm of the word. And you're not working with the right thing.
Amen.
You're letting circumstances and things dictate to you. When you get into your place, and the Holy Ghost that anoint you in your place and use in your place, every other circumstance will have to conform and come under the dominion of the word in you. But when you leave out the channel, when you leave out the calling, when you leave out the word that God opened up to you, and you try to deal with this, it will manipulate you, it will control you, you'll be fighting up with circumstances all the rest of your life and never be able to get under control. But when you stand in your God-given place, then you get all things under your feet. God wants you to see something in this hour. You can catch it. He's speaking to you something out of the word. He's trying to tell you who you are, what he's doing. Look at the service Wednesday night. Come right back around. Such an intense service. So intense. Come on, the Spirit pushed the knife down to our heart, even to the very hilt.
Amen.
Until he couldn't pull it back out. We went home with the knife down inside of us.
Amen.
If it's just church services, you just go and come. But if you're following and the word is taking over your life, each time you come, the vision gets a little clearer. Your soul rises a little higher. You get established a little deeper. It's then, like Samson, you know how to pray, no big, big, long, 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 long prayer. Then you'll find there'll be more praise coming in your prayer. There'll be more thanksgiving coming in your prayer. There'll be more worship coming in your prayer. And your prayer wouldn't be 2 hours of gimme, 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 gimme. Like if we're trying to get a stingy person to conform to our will. I think we are dealing with one who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings.
Abundantly.
Who has already provided all that we have need of. And I think as you grow in faith, you just have to thank him and praise him because he's already settled. You just have to find rest and peace. And you're just saying, what else, Lord? Am I doing this right? Am I doing this the way you want me to do it? And that mistake I made there last week, is it because of this? Is it because I'm not yielding enough? Do I need to see this clearer? I know this when I want to act, there's still a kind of doubt and the gear like you don't go in. Is it because I do it in self? Is it out of season? Should I be waiting on you, Lord? You find your communication get that kind of way. You know why? Because you are walking in continuity on this leadership. God's not changing his mind every service, you know. Every service is unfolding a little more of his mind. Hallelujah. Speak, my Lord, and I'll be quick. Quick! Quick response! Because there's such obedience here, such a willingness to obey. I'll be quick to answer thee. I won't deliberate. You know, tell me 3 and 4 times? You're not trying to beat me over the head to get me to change my mind? I'll be quick to answer thee, Lord. I'll have no, your wish will be my command. You feel like that tonight? If you want to feel like that tonight, you just get right in. Sing and worship him. Speak, my Lord, and I'll be quick. Quick to answer thee. Speak, my Lord. Speak, my Lord. Oh, think of Isaiah in the temple. Speak, my Lord. Oh, speak and I'll be quick, Jesus. Speak and I'll be quick. to answer thee. Speak, my Lord. Oh, speak, my Lord. My Lord, speak and I will answer, and I will answer, Lord, send me. Oh, get your ear attentive now, hear the Lord of harvest, hear the Lord of harvest, we. Do you hear him calling you tonight? Who will go and work for me today? Who will go and work for me today? Are you interested in this service? Who will bring to me the lost and dying? Who will bring to me the lost and dying? We just can't let them lay dead. Who will point them to the narrow way? If you're interested in the service, speak my Lord tonight. Make it personal. Say, Lord, what do you want me to do? How am I going to fulfill your word? Show me. I'm willing to obey. My Lord, make your vision plain to me, Father. Help me to take my place in this hour. Isaiah had to take his place. Hallelujah.
Speak,
oh, speak. God can speak, friend. And we have the ability to hear his voice. I'll stop being stubborn. I'll be more obedient. I'll be more responsive. When the coal of fire touched the prophet, that same seraphim could fly in here tonight with that live coal. Making him as pure can be. After he made his confession, cleansing came. What about you tonight? When the voice of God, isn't that what it's saying in this hour? Who go for us? Any answer?
Any answer?
Oh my! He's still the same God tonight. Speak, my Lord. Jesus, can you hear us tonight? We believe you can.
Speak, my Lord.
Oh, just speak, Lord, and we'll be quick to answer thee. Take away all stubbornness. Take away all rebelliousness. Take away all selfishness, Lord. Let the power of your voice transform my life tonight. Let it calm the troubled waters of my soul. The winds obey his voice. Speak and I will answer. I want to serve him in this hour. Millions now in sin and shame. We see it every day in the papers. See it in the news. Hear it in the radio. See it in the streets, in the world. Dying. Listen to this sad and bitter cry. No hope in the world. Oh, but hasten, brother. Let's come to that place tonight. Purpose in our hearts. Oh, quickly answer. Master, here am I.
Oh, let's lift our hands and sing, "Speak, my Lord." We're really meaning it now. Speak to me, Lord. Speak, my brother, my sister. There'll be no uncertainty of your voice and your instruction. We'll not be confused like Samuel was. What is Eli calling? Speak, that we'll know your voice. Like Elijah, with that still small voice, wrapped himself in the mantle and went out. Hallelujah. Oh, speak, my Lord. Soon the time for reaping will be over. The Lord of harvest says, pray that he send reapers in the field. Soon we'll gather for the harvest home. We'll gather for this great gathering time. May the Lord of harvest smile upon us. The field, amen. May we hear his blessing, child. Well done. Don't you want to hear him giving you a reward? Speak, my Lord. He wants to see our service for him. I'll be quick to answer tonight. Ask God for the willingness to respond. No deliberation. No retaliation. Don't resist the Holy Ghost. Be uncircumcised in ears and hearts. Speak, my Lord. Servants of yours in this hour, prisoners bound in the chains of your word. We want to be prepared servants, Lord, in action with reverence and humility. We want to be people anointed with a vision, a clear vision of your will and purpose. We don't just want to just come and go. We want to see doing the service according to your will, Lord. Hallelujah. Regardless of the obstacles, regardless of the hindrances, we want to be persevering, tied to an absolute. We want to achieve our purpose. Oh God, may you grant it, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. There's a service that he wants done in this hour. And that's why he's preparing servants. And that's why he's bringing forth a vision of the service that he wants done. That he might bring our lives into consecration to this service. That's why he divided his inheritance and show you a landmark. That you will know the sphere of your service. You will know what you need to consecrate your life to.
Amen.
You will know the place God called you unto. You will know to serve him in the capacity and the measure that he allotted to you. And you will be willing to be dedicated and be obedient to all the responsibility that goes with that. Because your birth was tied to that place. And unto this end was you born. For this cause you came into the world. That's why God sent this kind of message to call you and teach you. There is something for you in this life. He allotted your life for a certain thing. A Lutheran message couldn't teach you that. A Methodist message, a Pentecostal message can't teach you that. But God sent a message in this hour. Open the seven seals to teach you and show you there's a work for you to do. Just like John, just like Jesus, just like Moses, just like Abraham.
that you can know there's a place for you too in your age. Same God friend. It's a reality. I know you see it. I know when we get here and we talk of it like this, you see it. And there's something that even rise up in the heart of many of you that want to do it. But how to stay in it when you leave the building? How to stay in it tomorrow, next week, is where you get the trouble. When you're faced with things, you try to put it aside like second and third and fourth, and you make other things top priority. And then you run into trouble later on. And then you try to find this back and try to get it to work again. But God is trying to tell you, no, it don't work so. That's unbelief in what he has said. Faith will put God first always. Faith will submit to God. Faith will surrender to God. And outside of that is not real faith. Faith is not belief in the mind. That's foolishness. That's a false faith that many people think they have until the circumstance come. That's why that kind of faith don't go into action and don't achieve nothing. It's just in the mind. But real faith from the heart wrought exploits. Come back with testimonies. Live victorious every day. Real faith, substance faith. Hallelujah. We want to consecrate ourselves to that, don't we? That God can have a real church standing here in this hour, friend. Friends, let me tell you something. It's not the message and denomination and that kind of thing, you know. It's individuals that God could find. And when you see this nation, look what it has come to. Look at the chaos. Look at the darkness. Whether it's in politics, it's rotten. Whether it's in religion, it's rotten. Whether it's in the social world, in the morals, it's rotten. You see it. Look at the crime and the sin thing outside there. Look at it in the government circles, in the realm of politics. Look at it in the realm of religion, what's happening. And we just want to think we're going to rapture, close your eyes and go to rapture. That's not the message. The message that God sent people here to put the word in them, to make the word spirit and life, to make those people the word, to show that in the midst of all the conditions, people can stand and live a certain way. And when he give witness and testimony and prove this is the living word, then God rapture people. Then God can judge this. The rapture of the people is only to judge the world. He can take them out, he can pour his judgment. But how could he take out the people who haven't given a witness to judge the people who haven't seen the light? You think by you walking around telling them that the doctrine falls and argue with them is light against them? When you live this life in the word that they claim to have and preach from to, and you live that life so convincingly before them, and they know that's a daughter of God, that's a son of God, amen, that's a father, that's a mother, that's a Christian young man. We want to see it in our churches, but we don't know how to produce it. And look, it's going there, look, it's going there. Yes, see a church so dedicated and submissive to the word of God. Is it that kind of church? We try in our Bible schools and teachers, and we try to set up programs to bring it, and we can't bring it. Then they have light against them. Amen. That's what God wants for them. And as your pastor here preaching to you, that's my vision. That's why I preach what I preach. I don't care if it comes down to just empty chairs. You know I never preach to be popular, to get people, or to become friendly with people. Amen, brother. We all need each other, but we're not going to compromise with one another just for the sake of that and then paralyze the word of God. Because when God joined us, God didn't join us for flesh. God joined us because of the word. And if this word do become flesh, and this flesh become word, all our Christianity was in vain. It amounted to nothing because it was sin. It wasn't even the light it was supposed to be. Do you know that? That is why when you're in it, you better be in it 100% than try to be in it halfway. You stand a better chance in the world with God because you become responsible for light when light is exposed to you. In the world, you can claim ignorance. But when you're wrong the truth, You don't stand a chance no more. It's live or die. Speak, my Lord. Speak, and I'll be quick to answer thee. We want God to answer us quick many times. As we get in a crisis, and just, God answer quick! God take it too long! And then God trying to talk to us for years and months and months and months, and we can't answer quickly. It shows us our selfishness. Amen. We want a one-sided affair. But we too, and says, Vin, yes, Lord. Speak, Lord, I servant hear it.
Amen.
That's where we want to be, friend.
Amen.
Whatever it takes, Lord. If that's your wish, my master, I'm more than willing.
Amen.
To do your bidding. That's where it ought to be. And you find you don't even have to ask and get desperate and call. He'll be right there when you need him always. Like Abraham, he's going right to the sacrifice that boy. He was right there. He says, no. Let's sing it once more. Speak, my Lord.
Hallelujah. Speak, my Lord.
Oh, deep down on the inside of the inside. Speak, us, Lord. Create in us that which we lack. Supply it, Father.
And I'll be quick to answer thee.
And I will answer.
Speak, and
I'm answering tonight, Lord.
Lord, send me.
Amen. There's a real scripture, Acts 13. We have the wedding, so we won't really be having no much speaking. So we just, while in prayer, dear, something just come to me, and I would like to speak. Acts 13. That's to keep alive and keep you focused in the midst of all the preaching, in the midst of all the work and all the services. To let you know behind all this effort, there's an objective. There's something we want to keep concentrated to until we see it become a reality. Acts 13, verse 1. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, who was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work unto which I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia, and from there they sailed to Cyprus. And when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews. And they had also John to their minister, or as their helper. May love bless you. Lord, may I have a seat. And just turn with me also to Acts 18. Let's take Acts 16 first. Acts 16 verse 6.
kind of keep in mind the scriptures what we have read already and what we're going to read. Acts 16, verse 6. Now when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia, after they were come to Mysia, they attempted to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit allowed them not. And they, passing by Mysia, came down to Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia, beseeching him and saying, "Come over into Macedonia and help us." And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel unto them. And also Acts 18, verse 24. Verse 23. And after he had spent some time there, he departed and went over all the country of Galatia and Phrygia in order, strengthening all the disciples. And a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord. And being fervent in the spirit, he spoke and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom, when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. And when he was disposed to pass into Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him, who, when he was come, helped them much who had believed through grace. For he mightily convinced the Jews, and that publicly, showing by the scriptures that Jesus was Christ. Now, this is just a few little gleanings. We try to take in different parts of this book of Acts here. And we know that Acts is not the book of the Acts of the Apostles, but is the Acts of the Holy Spirit in the Apostles. And we are taught that Mark 16, Christ in the true church, is the continuation of the book of Acts. And if we are part of the true church, this Acts here is the vine, is the branch that came out of the vine. Jesus said, "I am the vine, you are the branches." And when his life energized that branch, he said, "The works that I do, shall you do also." So here when we read Acts, we see now not so much the vine as he was the person when he walked the face and said, "I am the vine and you are the branches." But now we look at the branches now that was in the vine, bearing the fruit that came from the life that was in the branch. Because his own life came back into them. And this is the standard and the pattern of the true church. This is the church in action. This is the faith of the fathers. This, later on in the epistles, is singularized in local churches. Church at Corinth, church at Philippi. But right in the book of Acts, we read how the church of Corinth came into being. We read how the church of Philippi came into being. We read how the church of Thessalonica came into being. So later on we get the epistles, we understand a little further things that was happening in that church that came into being in the book of Acts. In the book of Acts, we saw the missionary endeavor, which is they went in a place, in a city, begin to preach, believers begin to come, they begin to get them established in the faith, telling them Elijah had come, the Son of Man was revealed, the Holy Spirit was made available. You know, the scriptures is open and they understand it to be open to the scriptures and then you can know the plan of God for the age and these things. Just like, and they set up a message church. What you'll call a message church today. It's like if we go in a city and begin to preach and say Elijah has come and begin to show them Elijah is William Branham. The Son of Man was revealed that Jesus himself came according to Luke 7:30. In that the Son of Man shall be revealed like in Genesis 18. Begin to show them the Holy Spirit has come back. Revelation 10, the coming of the Lord, the Holy Spirit came back in the last days among the church. The headstone himself coming with shoutings of grace. And identify to them that all these things have been fulfilled in this day. And that God has called the people out of Methodists and Baptists and Pentecostals as he called them out of Sadducees and Pharisees back there. That they can walk and be established in the present truth. And so, when these things are repeating itself, is a continuation of what we read here. Now, right here in the assembly, we gather here, we call it our home church. We try to set it in order, what we call church order. Which we know does not just mean some deacons by the door, or some trustees handling all finance, or some singers organizing themselves to sing specials and services and so on. But all of that is an operation of the Spirit on a local level. And that could stop right there, full stop, with no further initiative to go beyond the local realm into maybe a national realm, into a regional realm. Because when God put light here, we become responsible for the light is first for them in the house and them who will come in. Jesus says, no man light a lamp but put it on a bushel, but he lights it and put it on a lampstand to give light to them that are in the house and then that will come in. So when God raised up a people, established a local church, then the light helps edify them and teaches them in the midst. But yet part of what is teaching them in the midst that they have a responsibility to be a witness of what they have received. And the same way it brought them to receive life, through them now spiritual multiplication will take place and it will bring others to receive what they receive. It don't stop with you and stay right there. It goes on and multiply. That's why the angel led Philip in service. Angel led Paul. Angel led Peter. And so it continued on. From the church in Jerusalem, it became a church in Antioch. It became a church in Corinth. It became a church in Thessalonica. But when Peter was preaching on the day of Pentecost, had no church in Corinth. Had no church in Antioch. Had no church in Thessalonica. Had no church in Galatia. If people had only think local, nothing would be done. And to prove that there was people to receive the word, They went out and saw things happening. Holy Spirit said, separate me, Saul and Barnabas. And they went out not fully knowing all the will of God. Because even the very scripture that we read, how they went different places, and we find that the Bible says, and they were forbidden to preach by the Holy Spirit. The word in Asia. They want to go in Asia. Holy Spirit say, no, now is not the time for Asia. Hold that back. You learning something there? When you went to go to Israel, Holy Spirit say, no, now is not the time for Israel. Change your ticket, go back to India and go wrong this way. Is that right? You have a time for regions. One season you go to North America. Holy Spirit said, no, leave that. Go into Central America. See? Latin America. Holy Spirit, go into Europe, go into Africa. Have a time and see, go into the Pacific region. God has opened up the door to bring light in certain regions. And the way he brings it. And when you want to take the church from one level to another level. Now, these are things many times that comes by the intelligence of the Holy Spirit, like on the headship. Now, the normal lady member, they're not taking up that responsibility, so their heart and mind is not set in that channel because the experiences don't put them in that channel. But then carriers of the word, they are waiting. So they try to go into Asia, and the Holy Spirit forbid them and say, no, don't preach the word in Asia. And then they came to Mysia and they attempted to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. And they passing by Mysia came down to Troas. Boom, and a vision break. And a man said, come to Macedonia. So he suffered them not, he allowed them not, he forbid them, but then he gave a vision, give a clearance here. They're carrying the word, but he know who will receive the word. I remember 1984, when some of you may not remember this, when I had chicken pox and I just come out of it, and we were supposed to go, John Chacon was here for a meeting, and then we were supposed to go to Venezuela together. And then I told him, I said, no, I don't think we should go to Venezuela. I think we should go to Honduras. I said, because in Venezuela, they have been here for years and they haven't been moving. And the brother in Honduras said, he wants us to come. I think that's where we should go. And we went there that night. And I was preaching the first service down in Tegucigalpa. And this minister up in the hill country had a dream. See, there was two of them had a dream. And he came out from way up in the mountains. And he traveled down to the city, to Tegucigalpa, the capital. And he came to another pastor. And in those days, Brother Elias, he was by himself. And he had Brother Melchizedek. And he was over 30, 40 churches in the country and was ministers who was together. And they were under the headship of somebody in the United States of America, which I don't want to go into the politics to explain those things, because they're not important for you. But just to give you a testimony here. And while we were there preaching, he had come out early in the day, and a brother in Brother Melchizedek Church had a dream that two brothers was going to come in the city. And then he get a fine out by way of it being voiced wrong that there was going to be a meeting that night. And then the same day, this brother from the mountains came down with his dream, and how they had this great big table spread with a lot of food. And I was preaching the other night, and I was preaching Christ's Mighty Gentle Warriors. And the brother and his associate minister and the other minister came down to the meeting. And when they were in the meeting there that night, they were so moved and struck with the word that the brothers just being asked, could you all come and have service in my church? And then I told Brother John Chacon, I said, John, you go with them. You could preach in Spanish. I'll stay with Elias and he can interpret for me in his church. And I said, and then the weekend we could come together on the weekend. So Brother John went from the very next night and began to preach in the other church. He was having meetings here, we have a meeting down here, down in the other church, where Brother Elias was interpreting for me. And then after that service, then on the weekend we came together and I preached on the weekend in the other church. All the people came together. The first time they was coming together in a meeting because the church was separated and, you know, they was at war in those days. And after that was a July 1984, and then the brother decided, who had come down here in about a dream, and then the brother in his church had a dream as well. And they decided that they wanted us to come back in November. We went back in November 1984, and they gathered about 40 ministers from all over the country, and they came. And from that time till this time, those brothers are always united. When we have services, they all come together. And that November, they had brought in the brothers from Nicaragua and from El Salvador. And they came over for the meeting there in Central America. And I say that for this, to show you sometimes when the time comes for a certain place. And then we went there and went into El Salvador. We went into, in those days, they had the guerrilla warfare. And they're burning the buses, nothing can pass. So we had to go way up into the mountains. Brother Joe, Brother Tony Hudson, a few of us, we went up there. And then you find also into Nicaragua and them places during the days of the Sandinistas. And when God wants to bring light on certain things to a region, God don't have to wait until everybody in the church understands it. Just one or two of the right people have to catch it, that is all. And once it's caught, it's there. And I read some scriptures here which I want to comment on to help give an insight to you as the local church. So you will understand that the local church is not designed just to come and hear the word and go back home. But there are things in the local church, and there's a direction that the local churches must evolve into
to become part of the body of Christ, to be unified with other members of the body worldwide, to become the bride of Jesus Christ on the earth. But we here are not the bride. We might have one or two members of the bride here. Other churches may have one or two members of the bride, but the bride is in the earth. The bride is a mystical body. We have local churches, and here are foolish virgins, and here are people who get to life for good works and all these things. God have them all wrong. Some people just contented to live without the Holy Ghost and live a good life. Nothing wrong with that. If they can't do better than that, praise God. They have the place in another class. By virtue of the life they live, they identify the class. You don't have to put in and take out. But the bride who have the Holy Ghost is the revelation of Jesus Christ on the earth. That's why these people will be up and down and you're not convinced them and they're arguing and they're fussing and they're fighting. No, not these people. These people is the word. For the age, these people can't. These people have eternal life. They're eternal as God's eternal. They're born to overcome. Amen. They don't care whether inflation, recession, unemployment. They don't care whether they're cool, whether they have this. They're born to fulfill the word of God regardless of the age. Amen. When they get quickened, things don't control them. They just control things around them. Amen. Because God's life flowing through them. Now, in your heart, you have to know where you feel called to. Foolish virgins is people without the Holy Ghost. They're just as good as the other people, but they're not in the election. They live a good life. Virgins, clean, sanctified. Nothing against them. They live nice. But the word is not the priority. They can't grasp that fullness of the word. Why? Because they take the Holy Ghost to carry you right into it. And they don't have that measure of the Holy Ghost. Indwelling. They have a work of the Holy Ghost done in them. So, they always, up and down, always have to get kind of refreshed, and they always get kind of charged when something moving in the bride around them. And then you have those who come along, well, they kind of believe and they kind of respect the people who stand for the word, and because of their influence, then they kind of, I wouldn't say trapped, but they kind of held and supported by the influence of these. So they come because of this one, and they come because of that one, and they come because of that one. And they think, well, the church is a good place, and they kind of respect what is happening here, and so on. And that kind of way. That person too, and they will support the work, and they will do good things, and they will get in life too. See? But the bride, it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Amen. For us, this is our life. We rather die than just waste out going to church and go back home.
Amen.
We can't. We don't satisfy there. We have something pushing us to rise beyond there. Amen. We want to see this Bible live, everything in this word live and be and come out of us.
Amen.
Something inside of us compels us like that. That is a different class.
Amen,
see, one is like astronaut, one is like aeroplane, one is like motor car, but they're all here. Probably like a silver dollar, 25 cents, 50 cents, 10 cents, 5 cents. God use all. If God can use something at 10 cents, God will leave back a silver dollar. Many times you go to buy something, you pass the $20 and you take out the $2 and you pay for it. You ain't touching that $20. You think $20, they say, I ain't getting used. Since whole day, you have $2, you have $5, you have 25 cents, and you use me yet. Like, I ain't let go. No, that special work for you, that big work for you. See? And it's because the reason you're jumping down the small because of how you're cherished by the owner.
Yes,
you see? But you're in God's pocket. You belong to him. And in this work, as I've been preaching, and especially the prayer meetings I've been using as a channel to talk to you more, in the preaching services, we've been preaching, trying to get you to understand your sphere of service, your channel for your faith to operate, the anointing of the Spirit, the revelation of the word unfolding in this hour. But in the prayer meetings, I've been trying to talk to you. Before the brothers in Chile came, trying to show you what a church is like. Then we had the opportunity to see certain things live out. We see it live out. I came back, I complimented her. I said, that's fine, that's real nice. That proves that is in the church now. If we have visitors come, We don't have to come and try to educate, you know, of a responsibility of how to take care of visitors. We went through the scriptures. We found it in the Bible. We showcase the church has that. Church has this. Characteristics that identify you as the church. Then there must be a channel for display to see if it is really working in you. To see if it is serving its purpose. It's coming out. We've seen it. We thank God for it. Now here, one of the things I wanted to notice is that this book of Acts constitutes many churches being established, many missionary endeavors. Many, one time they focus on Peter, next time they focus on Paul, next time they focus on Philip, next time they focus is on Agabus, next time they focus is on a council in Jerusalem, next time they focus is in a church experience in Corinth or Thessalonica or something like that. But it all culminates the church, the body of Jesus Christ. That was in the beginning, the Alpha. Now watch something. In Acts 13, in that church, they had prophets, which was preachers. New Testament. Preachers, a prophet. Holy Spirit and prophesying the word. Testimony of Jesus, the spirit of prophecy, working through the church. Now watch. They were fasting, they had prayer, they had laying their hands. They had ministers going out into the service of God. That must be in a true church. That's why we say in the church here, this is not a little political something. This is where men show that they can be under authority, they can receive training, they can participate and become involved, they can prove that they are trustworthy, they can be tried and tested in areas of responsibility. And then they can come forth as a prepared servant, trusted with a charge committed to them that they can go forth out of the assembly to do something for the kingdom of God.
Amen.
They can have a vision. They can show that they are a prepared servant to do God a service. What is that? That's the church, out of the womb of the church. She is giving birth to sons. A Abel, a Joseph, a Samson, a Abraham, a Moses. She's giving birth to different ones. A Paul, a Peter, a Philip, a Nathaniel. The church womb is giving birth to sons. Giving birth to a Martha, a Mary, a Lazarus. See a Salome. Giving birth to different ones. And they find a place and they serve in the area of service. A Dorcas who will sow. And brother, even the poor children will get clothing. Because while she's sewing, she sees this piece of cloth remain. She can get a thought already. The compassion reach out. She remember last time she saw this boy with his little tear pants come in service there. She know how nice it will make the family feel. And she asked the boy's name, this piece of cloth remain. You don't mind if I keep it and use it? He says, no, sure. Make a little pants. Next thing she comes, the little boy have a nice little pants. Hey, mommy, look at this. That's a gift in the church. Amen. It ain't called to operate in the room. It ain't called for like to operate in a church service, but it's a ministry in the body, for the body, helping the body. And when that church went out in Antioch, look where they went in Antioch there. That's the first Gentile church you see in the Bible. Outside Jerusalem, first church was Antioch. And out of Antioch, when they went out there, they sent them out. Here was ministers now going out of a local assembly under the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Not fully understanding all the will of God. Even attempted to go into certain areas with the word, but checked by the Holy Spirit, blocked by the Holy Spirit. And then the Holy Spirit was checking them and blocking them, and who had sent them out began to open the right door, because he was guiding the seed to the egg. Because he knew where the egg was, and he knew which seed is united with which egg. Just like in the natural birth, it's so mysterious. You have a million sperm, a million eggs. He says, God is able to direct which one to bring the conception. And so God was directing the sperm because the sperm was coming through the body. Then the next thing we look at in our reading was, apart from ministers going out, direction and service. I read that those two things to show you something. They had more than a local vision in that church. And they had men who was going out into the regions round about. And when they was going out, they even had direction in service under the leadership of the Holy Spirit, taking the word into the areas where the sheep was. And that is one of the things I long to see in the church here, where we can have ministers go out. I've been going out for the past 16 years, 3-4 times a year. Going out not because I want to travel. It wear me out, it get me out. Most of the time I leave here, I even have the strength to make the flight. In the early years, travel by myself most of the time. Going to places that I don't let war, famine, pestilence, trouble hinder me if the Holy Spirit said go in a certain place. Yes, sir. And to see also, apart from the word going forth, here we have in the region right here where people are suffering in darkness still, where the message is so handicapped and retarded, seemingly like if the word is bound almost, like if demon powers have set up a system around message preachers and message churches that they just can't get beyond the local church. That even the local churches, there's such a weakness because of division and strife and fear. So instead of ministers going to open their pulpits and churches going to be strengthened, believers are going to leave and go from one church to the next church to the next church because they felt they ain't being fed, they felt they ain't getting the word and different things. Only because ministers had fear to invite a minister who could help the church. And that shows a real deficiency. And we as believers, we've seen around us every day, brother, the Pentecostals don't even have the word that we have. Yet they're mobilizing the people, motivating people, do all kind of things until you find like message people don't even know what to do. They don't even know what to do other than go to church and condemn and criticize. But to show what they're doing, they can even have, give a testimony. Until they get shaking in mind, trouble in spirit, if they hear somebody get a healing, they hear some dead raised somewhere, they almost, first thing, Matthew 24:24, false anointing somewhere. Just like the disciples, when they see a man healing and casting devils, they say, Lord, tell that man stop. We alone supposed to win the message, win the Son of Man revelation. Nobody should do this. See? They couldn't tolerate nothing being blessed outside of them. The mind was so small still. And those are things I try to take off from around this church. I try to raise this church, not even talking about what goes on in other churches, not even talking about what happened with me in other churches and conflict with other churches. Even when I go outside and preach and come back, that not even that you misunderstand and get polarized around me. It handicaps me to even talk about some of the things that might be glorifying to God, but that it might be misunderstood. And that is why you find that you see the church here, we want to move to our next sphere now. And we are trying to get you to see it from the word, to make a step of faith, to give you a channel your faith will operate through. And if we can pool our resources, our energies, our gifts, our talents, the blessings that God bless us with, the measure of faith that God has given us, and become unified, we can see something really be achieved for the glory of God. A real Bible church here. The next thing, last 3-4 years, I mentioned to you, I says, sometimes you want to travel. And instead of traveling, God showed me, look, you could bring some of the people here. And the last few years I've been bringing brothers who need exposure, who need to come and see, who need to come and feel, who need to come and sit around and intermingle and mix. Because you learn a lot that way. And that's why I read here, Aquila and Priscilla. They were so, if you read the history of Aquila and Priscilla in the Bible, everywhere, when they was in Rome, when they was in Ephesus, when they was in Corinth, wherever they lived, they had a church in their house. They was always involved with the work of the Lord, from day one. And the thing was, they always was looking to see somewhere where the gospel could be spread and the truth could go out. Look at our young brother who came and interpreted here. He went to learn English for a couple of months. Came back now in a country where there was no message being translated. We had to wait now and again for a translation, maybe from Venezuela, from Puerto Rico, from somewhere, and half of them is questioned, half of them is behind a certain slant of doctrine. That now he has taken up the burden of translating the messages. Show his people around the book of here. Now that is greatly needed in a country that don't speak English, because the message comes in English. We don't have that problem. But I say from the pulpit here many times, I say, look, Venezuela is the closest place to trade that around anyway. Venezuela right there. And you know something? Yet, the churches there are suffering and dying, many of them. And because, no, it's normal. No, maybe I might be one of the few pastors will get that kind of a slant, because my whole experience in preaching among the Spanish people. You know about Miss Santa Cruz and Miss San Juan and me, Spanish and all these things. I preached it for years. And because of that, I think about that. And I've stopped even going to the country, because the church I used to go to, where the interpreter was, it has fallen back so far, and then the splits that come out and the confusion that exists. Because to deal with those things, you have to deal with those things on a level where you can speak eye to eye, where you can sit down with the scripture on a ministerial level. And because of the inability to get that done, I try to stay away, not to be in confusion. Had brothers who go and try to talk to a few people at the side and these things, but it's not my experience. I can't work so. I know the futility of trying to do anything for God on that kind of level. And I say, some of you know Spanish. I say, learn the language. Before you know it, it's going to help you in more than one way, apart from the gospel. Because this whole region is coming in into a zone here. But the thing is, you have to see the work. You have to, your heart has to be caught up in the work of the Lord. You see, but in the third world, we have been cultivated with a mentality for close to 100 years of receiving, not giving. So it was a great labor to reverse the process, where we could start to think of doing things for others rather than waiting to receive from people. And that's why you find there's all that gimme mentality. Even people pray when they go before God. Gimme. And before they say, Lord, I come to give him a life. Lord, I come to bring myself in subjection to you. Lord, I come to give him a strength and a youth. I come to give him a time, Lord. We come, Lord, I need this. Lord, I need that. Lord, I need this. Watch it in every form of your behavior. Watch and see if it is enjoy receiving or giving. Which one is enjoying more? Keep the answer to yourself too, privately. See which one is enjoy more. And you'll find out. I'm trying to explain why we are that way. We are products of a system, an enslavement of the mind that we grew up in. We thank God for the message that could even deliver us from that kind of thing. To bring us to a place, to give us faith, to live by another law now. A law where we don't look at how much we have to give. A law that we give because we know the true giver himself. Amen. And we know he will supply all our needs. And we don't live in fear of not having. We live in his faithfulness that he will not forsake his own. He'll not see us begging bread. Because one day we'll really have to live so when we can't buy ourselves. So he lets us exercise in those things as a way to be developed, that when the hour comes, we know how to stand. It's an experience already to us we could draw from. And not something we're trying to experiment in when that time comes. And so in Acts 18, they laid their eyes on them and they brought them in among them. And they taught them the word of God more perfectly. And then they asked the brothers in certain areas to receive them. Now that he was more perfectly taught. And he greatly helped them. It shows you something about the church. The church is not just thinking of selling people out. The church can further the cause by bringing people in. And people coming in can be more greatly established and see the work on a greater level, and then go back into other regions and areas with a greater influence. So those three places, in Acts 13, when they was going out into the regions round about, in Acts 16, when the Holy Spirit was opening doors, leading them where the sheep was, who was going to receive the word, and in Acts 18, where they was bringing some in and helping them to get better established in the present truth, become a greater witness to see the cause advance in a greater way. And if those three things can be identified in our midst, it means, say, the church here will even rise to a level in a greater way where we would be better equipped to carry out the word, to be an influence of others who also have been called to carry out the word, but maybe not mature or experienced as we might be, or operating in the sphere that we are operating from. Some people, the vision small, so they stay in a small corner. I don't know if somebody who can willing to launch you like Jesus told Peter, step out the boat and come here. When he saw somebody standing out there, he get courage to do it. If Jesus was in the boat saying, go out and walk now, go out and walk now. You can do it, go out. He said, well, why you don't go? See, he wouldn't go. But we see Jesus standing out there whistling. Nice weather out here, boy, come now. Take a walk, you can do it, come on. Come on, hey, huh? Put your foot on the wheel and step over. You ain't gonna drive, watch and see. It's time to me just right here. Look here, balance on one foot. See, on one foot here. See? And he step out. He make it look easy. And he realized, wait now. If I didn't see that, I'd have stayed here with this small boat, vision inside this boat, feeling you could never step there. When the first astronaut went to the moon, second set went, third set went, fourth set went, and they keep on going, now they want to go to Mars. You know what I'm saying? Think of it, before a man come on a horse and buggy to a motor car, that's a big jump. Then a man say, I feel it's a good flyers, we could go to the air. Man say, I feel we're going to outer space. Now they're talking about space travel. It just keeps growing, friend. And may God help us to take courage. Let's be a church here, a Bible church, a real church. Gifts, callings, everything in place. Everybody have a place. Everybody is thankful for the place God called them to serve. We are not trying to glorify the gifts that operate in the service and then put down the ones that do operate outside the service. That's carnality. That's why it cultivates a desire for everybody to impersonate and nobody stay in the place God called them, and then the whole body get weakened. So regardless of what sphere God called to serve in, if you be faithful there, it'll be a great blessing. You know your boundaries. You know your landmarks. You know your areas of responsibility. You see the place God bless you. When the word comes to you, remember you have the ability to hear from God. Remember God has the ability to speak. And God know how to speak for you to hear. God ain't speaking for you to miss it. He's speaking for you to get it.
That's why even preaching these come from this angle, come from this angle, come from this angle, send another preacher, come from this way, send another preacher, come from that way, send another preacher, come from that way, to preach the same thing for you to get it. God interested in making you miss it, interested in you in getting it. So you don't have to worry and be cutting Bible all the time or trying to close your eyes to dream something. Say, God, speak to me, I'll hear it. God, lead me to it. You are ways you can do it. And you know the best way for me to come into it. And I don't want to feel that, you know, you can't show me a new way tomorrow or give me a further experience. I want to hold you right here. And if anything else come other than that, it's not God. No. He could come to Abraham in a light. He could come to him as a man. He could come to him in a cloud. He could come to him in a pillar of fire. He could come to him in a still small voice. Whatever form God chooses to come in, they know he's God. He doesn't come one way all the time. He don't ever do that. He trains us to his voice. Because his form will change, but his word will never change. It's the same yesterday, today, and forever. I want to see us rise to another level. I want to see us pressing in. In this hour, something is breaking to us. God is trying to tell you, don't sit in them benches there and just try to get scholarly. That age is past. That time is gone. Get active in the world. Act upon it. Get involved in it. Love one another. Appreciate one another. Compliment each other. Work with, don't be jealous and compete and feel bent out of shape with somebody else being used, you're being used. Because you do have your chair. You're sitting on a chair home and you're not sitting on a next chair for the next 6 months. You're drinking tea in a cup, you're drinking that same cup. The next cup, don't complain. Use the master of the house. All the vessels are yours. You use them as you see it fit to you. And you know that is what make you the master of the house, the sovereignty to do as you choose. How could you deny God his sovereignty? That is what make him rightful God and master and ruler. And if God used somebody in one season, even the Bible, the ministering courses. When Zechariah's course came to go and burn, he was burning. It was his time to go and minister, and that's when the angel came. You ain't gonna miss out nothing. You think the angel will come in somebody else's course? He's ordained to meet the angel in his course.
Amen.
God have it allotted out for you to get your portion. You're not going to miss your portion. Nobody can take your place, and you can't take nobody else's place. And the devil could try to keep us disunified. But we have to keep unified. You have to go beyond your complexes. You have to pull down the strongholds and submit to the word. God will not put on a big show for Trinidad, but God will meet every need. And where he wants to give witness, he'll have a people in shape to give the witness. And if you have other churches like us, God will use them the same way. We don't have no monopoly and everything that God's going to do that a country to the Exodus Assembly neither. Don't even get that kind of thought in your mind, that denomination. Always remember I say that. We just want to do what God wants us to do. And when we hear another church being blessed, when we hear God using another church, we're happy for them too. And when they have something that we don't have and it's available for us and we don't know how to take it, we want to learn from them what they're doing to get it. Exactly. The Germans did that one time. Americans beat them back and forth in the swimming. The Germans in there, they realized the Americans had a certain type of technique and they had a certain type of technique. They combined the things and they won all the medals in the Olympics once. See? It's like, well, I ain't taking nobody's thing. I am my own thing. How can I be self and pride? Nobody have nothing. Everything is God thing.
Amen.
No man have nothing that he except he receive it. The eye need the hand need the eye. The eye need the mouth need the nose need the ears need the feet. We all need each other. Without each other, we are not complete. And may God, and the only thing that unites us is love. Real, genuine love. That make us realize that God did it that way because it pleased God. It didn't just happen by chance. the eye compete for that spot and the hand compete for that spot. No, God put them there. God designed it so. And we didn't even know who to be the members that make up this assembly. But God had the assembly in mind before they even had one person. And God know the ones he'll bring here. And God know the part they was going to play when they come here. And God know the talents that they have. God know the gifts that is public and the gifts that is private. And God know the measure and the capacity to use everyone in and how it use it. We will have to fight our battles over the years to achieve unity, to come to oneness, to come to a place where there's no competition, to come to a place where there's appreciation, to come to a place where there's love to protect each other until we stay unified. Because it's not no individual glory performing for, it's for the cause of Jesus Christ. And there are many out there in this region, before this year done, if God could hear my prayer tonight and give me that I could see something break where we could have, I mean, we went out in the Burbage River there and we had the little church established up there and we tried to work with the brother in Guyana, with Aubrey, and we try to do what we can do with them there. But there are places that their message have gone forth in a deformed way, growing in a deformed way, still that way. People handicapped, retarded. People still in bondage. Places the message haven't even been gone. Places where people don't even know the very things that has been preached and revealed is really available. But what people think the message is because what has been projected. And over the years, this little assembly has been blackened and fought against until when people hear to the assembly and this, and they made them get a little paranoid. And over the years, many people used to come on and say, "Brother, sorry, you know, I say so and so and so." I didn't even know the people. But the thing is that waiting all these years, not trying to fight no fleshly battles, no personal wars, but knowing that God have to raise a real church. And through the members of that real church, God will fulfill the things he promised. And watching different ones growing in the Lord and seeing the work go out to Prince Song and Cedrus and see what God's going to do there on a local level and knowing that it's going to get a little greater. Seeing the influence and the effect upon the last of the brothers who came here from New Zealand, from Ohio, from Chile, different places that come. The effect in the years before, the others who passed through. And then the places where we go, and some places we have contact with people by tape and try to help, you know, encourage them through via tape, share some of the services here. There's many ways that strength and nourishment can go to the body. But to find a unit and every cell that make up that unit, working, living parts, not artificial parts, not cosmetic parts, working parts, we can see something really achieved. So may God bless you. Keep you faithful. Take these few thoughts in your heart. Take the couple of scriptures and think of it. That's how it was back there in the church. That's the Alpha. God still leads people and directs them in service. God still sends people out. God still brings people in. Get them affected even further the cause in their own region, in the different places. All these things are part of the church working. And you are seeing all these things here in a measure. So sometimes you wonder what is happening in the church. Just get in the word a little bit. Just open up your heart and set your mind back. And watch the Spirit make it real to you. Burn, burn, Holy Spirit, burn in me. Set my heart on fire. Fill me with the Holy Ghost and God's full desire. Make me like the Christ of old. Healing and raising the dead. Give me the power that Jesus had through the blood that was shed. I want to consecrate my life to that. I want to see the Holy Spirit live his own life, work in me, work in my brother, my sister, the song leader, musicians, singers, deacons, trustees, families, father, mother, workers, helpers, everywhere, Sunday school teachers, librarians, the Holy Spirit working
See the ushers, the entire move of God from the pulpit all the way to the janitor. See a body of people anointed there. Anointing on their head and run right down the rest of the body, even down to the hem of the garment. The same anointing all throughout the body. Oh, may God give us that in this hour. Burn, burn, Holy Spirit, burn in me, set my heart on fire. Oh, fill me with the Holy Ghost, me with the Holy Ghost and God's full desire. Oh, make me like the Christ of old. Be like the Christ of old, healing and raising the dead. Oh, God still does these things. Give me the power that Jesus had through the blood that was shed. Oh, sing the song now. Burn, burn, Holy Spirit. Burn, Holy Spirit. Ask God tonight, let it burn deep down in your soul. Set your heart on fire. Make you ablaze with the glory of the gospel. Holy Ghost and God's holy desire. Oh, make me like the Christ. Think of what kind of person Jesus was. What Peter and Paul was like. What Brother Brown was like. And raising the dead. Oh, give me the power, Lord. Power to love, power to forgive, power to strengthen each other. Through the blood that. Oh, let the brothers see me burn, burn, Holy Spirit. See Holy Ghost filled men, anointed men with the Holy Ghost. Anointed with faith and wisdom and power and love. Men that can stand and pray, cast out devils, amen. Men that can strengthen the weak, establish the young ones. And God's full desire. Oh, make me like the Christ of old. Sisters tonight, anointed sisters, Holy Ghost filled women of God. They don't care about fashions and anything. They want a clean dress of clothing, look neat and clean. That's about it, amen. Hallelujah. Like the widow at Zarephath, not Jezebel, she can obey what Elijah said. Make me like the price of oil. Take your meal and your oil and bring it to your two sticks on the cross. Amen. Hallelujah. See the miracles take place in your home. See the little dead boy raised back to life. Now I know you can sing that a little better than that. Everybody now. Sing like when the brothers of Chile was here. The Holy Ghost ain't gone, the brothers left, but the Holy Ghost is here.
On fire. Make me like the price of.
church, Lord. Oh, that what made a difference between the Sadducees, the Pharisees, the Herodians, and the real church. The real church had the Holy Ghost. Samson was just a man like anybody else without the Holy Spirit. But when the Holy Spirit came upon him, oh, he was different to other men then. Hallelujah. Give us the Holy Ghost tonight. The power that Jesus had through the blood that was shed. That was the difference between the tabernacle, the Solomon temple, when the glory filled it. Any people could have built the kind of building to build. But when the glory of God filled that building, it made a difference when God was tabernacle inside a den. Glory be to God in the highest. Thank you, Jesus. Bow our heads and close our eyes. I'm going to invite Brother Melville to come and pray. Ask God dismissal as well. And you who might have come service tonight, and these few things have been spoken and sort of got down into the innermost part of your being, and you say, that touched me tonight. I see what you're saying, brother. I want to take my place. I want to be a real believer. I've been hearing the word throughout this week, but tonight, something there just hit the right note. And I feel the grace in my heart to want to surrender. You feel like that tonight? Raise your hand if you want to be remembered in a special way. Amen. God bless you. You lift it because it goes in the subconscious. You know, I lifted my hand that night when that Brother Vince said that. Brother Melville was going to pray. I lifted my hand. And Lord, right between Brother Vince and Brother Melville there, when I raised my hand, Lord, I raised my hand to you that night after hearing those comments made. I want to take my place as that kind of believer. I know God will not disappoint you. He will hear and answer our prayer.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Almighty God, Father, we give you thanks tonight to be in the divine presence. Lord, we thank you for the couple of services, Lord, you have been speaking to us, Lord Jesus. It's not just sermons, Lord, but we believe it's your mind being revealed unto us. Lord, showing us what you want to bring us into, Lord Jesus. Lord, revealing, Lord, the boundaries and telling us what is on the deed. Reading the will to us, Lord Jesus, showing us our borders, our landmarks.
Thank you, Jesus.
Lord, we believe that you're telling us that for a purpose. For Lord, we are about to enter into our possession, Lord Jesus. Lord, everything you do is for a purpose. You don't do anything vain, Lord. It's not just a man talking or somebody trying to preach something, but believe, Lord, with all our hearts, we are coming into something, Lord. Lord, to possess what is rightfully ours. What is